Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
What up, P-Silly listeners? Welcome to the podcast that takes its silliness seriously. The professionally silly podcast. It's your audible boopfang, Amber Smiles Jones. And this is the podcast where we shoot the shit and where comedy can meet any random ass topic that we discuss. This is the number one podcast that nobody knows about, but we're like the secret love child of your favorite podcasting platform. We're not really sure how we got here, but I'm thrilled to just be the best kept secret in podcasting world. Mm. You know, each week I try my best to bring you the random, the silly, and the fun, served with a side of humor, wit, and a dash of confusion as to why no one's listening. Yet. Yeah.
Yet.
So join our exclusive club of 12 listeners and let's get this party started.
Mm.
You know it. Oh, DJ Hey Cousin is here.
Yeah, I'm also here as well.
Yeah.
Yes, it's me, Wes, aka DJ Hey Cousin. Hey.
All right, now that we get that out of the way, did Eminem save Rihanna from Diddy? And I've got an Am I the Asshole story. You're damn right I do. Mm. And a creepy story to share. That and so much more coming up next. So make sure you guys subscribe, rate, and review. And if you want to show your support for this podcast, if you're listening, that's all you got to do.
That's not, yeah, that's
it's
it.
Free.
That's it.
You'd be like, boop, I love them. Bam. Done.
So easy. So easy.
If you're listening on Spotify, don't forget you can leave comments directly under each episode that you're listening to, not just on this podcast, but all podcasts. So leave those comments down below. All right. So why don't we go ahead and get on to our POC excellence segment?
Mm.
Ready for that?
I'm ready for that.
Let's get to it right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. Yo, I want to tell you guys about a man named Nikki Crawford out of Atlanta. We're talking about a homegrown brother, Atlanta.
Yay.
So this is coming from an Instagram page at Black Enterprise. And I got to tell you, I love that these social media pages that share these amazing people of color who have done some amazing, wonderful things. And it's just nice to hear about one of us not being blamed for something or arrested or being killed. You know, it's just, it feels like when people of color make the news, it's usually in a negative light. And I fucking hate that. So I'm going to use my little platform here to share some good, colored good, if you will. And I can say that my best friend's black, so.
I'll allow it.
Thanks. So, so Nikki Crawford, with help from Georgia Tech students. Shout out to Ethan. He is one of the virtual interns. That's where he goes. He has nothing to do with this. He just goes there.
Yeah, shout out.
What's up, bud? Nikki Crawford, with help from some Georgia Tech students, converted a school bus into a mobile laundry facility to aid Atlanta's homeless community. So that's fucking cool. And I love that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. So it says here, at the Juneteenth block party, he revealed that this initiative is part of Crawford's nonprofit, Flowing with Blessings, which also provides showers, haircuts, health checks, and meals. And that's amazing.
It is.
So in 2022, Nikki launched a mobile shower service that serves around 50 people weekly. First of all, love this man.
Oh, yeah.
Love this man.
This person already sounds like a stand-up individual.
I'll say. Goodness gracious. I wish I could hug him, honestly. Shout out.
I'll give him some dap.
You give him some dap?
Yeah.
Shout out to Nikki Crawford for being such an amazing human being. This man is actually doing what he can to help. I know millionaires who don't give a shit and do nothing.
Most of them don't, actually.
And not just them. Just everyday people. I'll say it. I've done it before. I've walked by some people and not have given. And then there are times I've given, and then I realize, oh, look at him just getting into his fucking BMW.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all want to do good things, but sometimes we're so worried about being scammed that we don't do those good things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people who need the help don't get it. So there are just times where people just walk by the homeless every day and pretend like they don't exist. And Nikki Crawford said, fuck that. I'm going to do this. So I want to literally throw my hands together for this wonderful fucking person. Like, legit. You can clap. Oh, shit. Oh, okay. You were doing... Okay. He was being dramatic about it. All right. So I, for one, would like to say I'm going to do my best to try to not assume the worst of people, because of everything that we're seeing, all the negativity, sometimes even just personal experiences, we just tend to think that people always want something else mm-hmm. from us other than just help. I'm going to do my best to try to do better. If I can give, I want to give. If I can't, obviously I can't always. I'm not a millionaire. But
yeah.
Sometimes just something as simple as smiling at someone or saying hello, you'd be surprised what that could do mm-hmm. for someone.
And on top of that, if you're being engaged with in the future, try to go into that engagement in good faith.
Yeah.
That's always, that may be small, but it's definitely hard in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely difficult. And trust, hold, and believe, more times than not, you'll leave that experience feeling better about that decision.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree with that, because the times where I was able to give, you know what I'm saying, it felt amazing afterward.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anybody about it. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying it just felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And like my daddy always says, like when I'm having a really bad day or I'm upset about something, and he's like, you know, will make you feel really good. I'm like, what? He's like, if you do something for somebody else. And he's right. Usually when he said that, I'm like, man, be quiet. Like, I want to be upset right now. I don't need your logic, and I don't need your sensitivity or help. All right. Stop.
Please. Goodness.
I don't need your understanding. Get out of here.
I'm sulking over here.
Yeah. Stop. But yeah, I hope you guys learned something from what we just said and from Mr. Nikki Crawford. You know, sometimes taking a chance on kindness, it's just self-rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Being selfless truly can be a blessing for yourself.
It's the Professionally Silly Podcast. Mic check.
Mic check.
Oh, man. Yours is better than mine.
I have hidden burp powers that I have yet to show you.
You just pissed me off. We're going to have a burp contest after this episode.
Oh.
Fuck you.
We shall
see. You know
see.
The burp queen. Now you've opened up something.
Sure, see, goddess.
All right, let's see here. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's get to it. Let's put ChatGPT to the test. It's scary story time coming up right now.
Ooh.
All right? Let's do it. So can AI create a good scary story? We do know that AI is being used for a lot of things these days, and some of them are really good, and some of them are like, oh my God, why would you create that? You know, like the Cybertruck. I'm not sure AI had anything
what?
To do about that.
What?
But I just still what? Don't understand why that's around.
What? Okay. You can't just bring up your hatred of the Cybertruck randomly.
Yes, I can.
Just out of...
You know what? Challenge accepted.
Okay. Oh, no.
Challenge accepted.
No, there was
I
no...
I will bring it up.
There was no
at another
challenge.
One or two more points in this episode.
There
I will bring
no
it up.
Challenge, challenge given accepted. To you at all. Like, what?
Challenge accepted. So we are all starting to get used... Yeah, moving on. Used to AI. Is starting to be kind of more, oh, this is a thing now. <You know? laughs> and I do wonder like how much of a like of a human experience, of a human creativity do you need to create a good scary story? I for one think a person can write a better scary story than AI. But I have been proven wrong a couple of times on this podcast.
I mean, wrong is a strong word.
Well, you know what? I won't say wrong. You're right.
You've had your mind changed to the idea that AI has the capability in its current state
mm-hmm.
to be compelling in the horror genre.
It can be, I'll give you this. It can be compelling in the horror genre, but I think if you're using AI correctly or the way that I would use it if I used it more so for writing and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I would want to take some of the AI and then put myself into it to make it even better.
Yeah.
Because the AI alone, in my opinion, is not as great as using the AI as a prompt, but then putting yourself into it, changing things around, moving, you know what I'm saying? Kind mm-hmm. of shaping that written artwork into something more pleasurable, something more enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it should be used as far as AI and as far as an artistic avenue, as far as like writing and stuff like that. That's how it should be. As ideas, when you're in the outline stage, when you're at that preamble stage of the writing process, in mm-hmm. my opinion, definitely not to create the entire thing.
No, I
and then just turn it in like just that. Like bam.
Hello, agree with that right there. So like, can ChatGPT actually create a good scary story with little prompt? The prompt was, create a horrifying story about a creepy caller for a radio show. That was the prompt. That's it. Okay.
That's relatable.
So I gave it a prompt, but I didn't give it any details.
Mm-hmm.
Make the radio show this. Make it. I didn't do any of that.
Yeah. What genre of radio show? What time of day is it? You know what I mean? Yeah.
I work in radio, and sometimes we get a couple of these creeps and assholes who call in. And this is what gave me the idea to see what ChatGPT would do. Had an asshole call in today. We won't get into it, but I ain't like her. So let's see what ChatGPT can do.
I'm ready. Let's go.
We got ourselves a little read here. Cold read, too. Never read this.
Ooh.
Oh, it just got darker in here, too.
It did. The ambiance just got set.
That's crazy. It was just past midnight in Carson. The late night radio show host was about to wrap up his paranormal call-in segment when the line lit up again. Last caller of the night, he said, leaning into the microphone. You're live on Midnight Talk. What's your name? The line crackled with static. For a few seconds, he thought it was a prank. Then a voice drifted through, quiet, raspy, and somehow familiar.
Carson, it's me.
Carson blinked, caught off guard. Do we know each other? The voice chuckled, a low, guttural sound. I don't know how to do that.
What was that? That wasn't bad.
Thanks.
We spoke a long, long time ago. Back when you didn't believe in the things you talk about now.
Carson's skin prickled. He had done hundreds of shows, talked to countless voices over the waves, but this felt different. Cold.
Oh, yeah?
Carson tried to keep it light. And what did we talk about? The voice hesitated, then spoke slowly, each word dripping with dark certainty.
I told you that one day you'd be alone, Carson. That no matter how much you tried to fill the quiet, you'd never escape it.
Carson forced a laugh, but it sounded hollow. All right, buddy. Time's up. I gotta keep the show moving.
Don't hang up,
the voice whispered, sharp now.
I'm not done.
There was a beat of silence, and then the caller's voice began to describe Carson's studio in detail. The flickering green of the on-air sign. The stack of half-empty coffee cups on his desk. Even the pen he kept anxiously tapping. Carson's blood ran cold. How do you know all this? He stammered.
I told you, Carson. I'm here.
The voice replied, growing softer.
I'm always here, waiting for you to remember.
Carson's fingers hovered over the end call button, but then he froze, catching a glimpse of his studio monitor. reflecting a dark figure standing just behind him. The caller's voice, close and hissing, spoke one last time.
Turn around, Carson.
That's the end.
What? What?
So yeah, ChatGPT wrote that.
Yeah.
With just the prompt that I read to you.
How long was that? How many paragraphs was that?
I don't know. I broke it up so it's easier to read.
Okay. That wasn't bad at all.
I think it was like a page.
Yeah.
Maybe a page.
Yeah. See, that's a cool outline to have, like just from the start.
You can do a lot with that.
And then just do whatever you want from that as far as like a template. You know what I mean?
You can do a lot with that.
Like, I mean, honestly. Doing the paranormal radio, doing the late night call, you know what I'm saying? What was the dude's name again? Damn, I forgot.
Carson.
Carson, doing a dude named Carson. That's a very radio DJ ass
name. My name is Carson. Yeah.
Dude, that's a good one. That's
yeah,
good
I gotta one. Say, ChatGPT is doing well because I feel like ChatGPT is one of the first ones. So when it comes to AI with text, and over the months since I last used it, because I haven't used it until earlier this month for these episodes.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it has changed. It's very different from what it used to be. Copilot is trying to catch up with the text. The text is not bad.
It's not.
But the ChatGPT is better but so far.
It's in constant fluctuation. Mm-hmm. Like if you're using it on a daily basis, you can feel it not working sometimes.
Yeah. Like Meta AI has been pretty good, surprisingly, lately. Yeah. I'm like, oh, so I do use all three platforms for different things. And I got to tell you, it's very helpful. I'm loving the AI. I just don't want it to do too much more than what it's doing. we can stop here.
You know what I mean? Yeah. No, regardless of how much money I obtain in the near future or far future, I'm not buying a robot.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
What if somebody gifts you a robot? Would you take it?
Oh, yeah, I'll accept it and then sell it for twice the fucking price.
Three times.
Yeah, I'm going to rob them blind. You're goddamn right. And I'm going to tell my friend, bro, hey, listen, because if somebody bought me a robot, then they have a lot of money.
Yes.
Okay, which means they're going to be okay with me saying, I don't want this. Do not buy me this. Because if you do, I'm going to do this. Because I won't be an asshole and not tell them that and then like sell it behind their back. And that's not friendship.
At least you told them.
But
at least,
I'll tell you, don't buy me. Wes, when you make it, do not buy me a robot. Because what I just said will happen.
Yes. All right. Duly noted.
And
I
so
know.
When you buy me the robot, you're going to see me like in a new car later or some shit. I'm telling you, I'm going to have some new kicks. I'm going to have a biddy on my side. Clearly.
I'm going to buy you a Cybertruck.
Oh my God, I will slap the shit out of you.
But you can sell it for three times the price. I mean, or you can destroy it.
I do not want that shit in my name. Yeah. Do not. Did Eminem break? So fucking pissed. I messed up my T's. Did Eminem save Rihanna from Diddy with just one song? Coming up next, right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast, I fucking hate Cybertrucks.
Yeah, that's about right. With a Cybertruck Lego set in the back seat.
I said I wouldn't hit you, but you were really pushing it, pal. All right. So I came across a video on the @SmartNews03. On TikTok, and now I'm not sure how true any of this is, but it kind of made sense to me, and I wanted to discuss it. Okay, so supposedly Eminem is a real life fucking hero. All right, he saved Rihanna from P. Diddy with just a song. So let me play this audio, and y'all can decide for yourselves if you agree or not. But don't forget, you can always leave me a voicemail sharing your opinions on any topics that we discuss here. 805-664-1828. Okay, so let's go ahead and run the clip.
No one realizes that Eminem saved Rihanna with a song, but Diddy doesn't want to leave them alone. The lyrics even hinted that Diddy had a tunnel leading to Rihanna's house. I'm friends with
the monster. So the lyrics to The Monster is what they're talking about, but we don't have the rights to that, so I'm going to read it to you. I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me. Stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy. Yeah, you think I'm crazy. So that's the lyrics that they're talking about. Let's go ahead and get back to this clip.
Eminem named the song The Monster as a warning to Diddy. And through this song, Rihanna broke free from Diddy's control. Diddy knew that Eminem, along with Dr. Dre and 50 Cent, would help Rihanna. If Diddy ever attacked, he'd face retaliation from all of Detroit. According to insiders, Eminem also tried to help Justin Bieber, but he couldn't escape. As a rapper from the slums, Eminem often dissed Diddy in his songs, hoping to protect others from Diddy's harm. But few understood Eminem's hints until Diddy got arrested. Fortunately, Rihanna stopped releasing albums 3 years later, stepping out of the music industry to start her cosmetics company. Diddy never dared to target Rihanna again, believing that Eminem had romantic ties with her, but the gentleman just wanted to help his friend as much as he could. Without Eminem's intervention, Rihanna's fate might have been even worse than Michael Jackson's.
All right, so you just saw the video. You heard what they said.
Oh, yes.
I honestly didn't even think about it until I came across this video, and I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. A lot of music and a lot of art is like that. You know, you really don't even know what it really means until years later, you know, when truths come out and this come out and, you know what I'm saying, this person die or whatever, you know what I mean? So to get this truth now with all this going on, it's wild.
It is wild. And here's my thing about this, bro. This is exactly why they call them artists. Because their music is art, and usually the good ones, their art is about them or their experiences or things they've seen or witnessed or what have you. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Sometimes you don't know what the truth is behind these songs, because that truth is not necessarily meant for us right away, but it is helpful for them to get that shit out. It's almost like a therapy for them. Like, for instance, mm-hmm. my content is a therapy for me, because I enjoy, you know, sharing myself. I enjoy making people laugh and stuff. And laughter literally is the best medicine for me.
Yeah.
You know, and that brings me joy. So, but not to mention, you know, a lot of artists also use their art in this case, i.e. music, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, to try to help others, whether their lyrics are trying to tell you something that you need to pay attention to, or you're literally using a song to save someone from someone or a situation, which apparently, this is all alleged, by the way. I don't really know this is true, but it makes sense to me.
Well, you know, well, given everything that's going on, I mean, I don't know how far deep y'all have gone down that particular rabbit hole. You know, it's not that hard to connect dots as far as, you know, what you can sort of piece together yourself, you know, but the stuff like this, it's very plausible. Actually, it's more than plausible. You know, an artist like M, when you go into his backstory and see sort of what he's gone through to get here, not even from like on the come up, I mean like within the industry itself. You know what I mean? It's wild, man. So stuff like this isn't new. No. There's a lot of songs that's like this.
No, it's not new. It's just, I guess just right now it's just relevant.
It's a reminder.
Yeah, it is. And if this is indeed true, that just makes me love Eminem more than I already fucking did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We grew up with him during his rough times. We grew up with him becoming AKA woke, if you want to call it that. But he had a different view on a lot of things because of where he grew up, just like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And we go into the world, into this modern world where everything is just kind of evolving into where we are right now, aka, like, also for an example, I was gonna say, aka, for example, you know, the LGBT community is starting to be more recognized by more people. Mm-hmm. You know, at one point, Eminem didn't fuck with that because that just was not something that he was familiar with. It wasn't something that he had been around. And also in hip hop, it was popular to talk down on that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget that amazing Elton John moment.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that came in sort of like.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to bring that up. Go ahead.
Yeah. At the VMAs, I believe it was 2002, 2003, 2004, around that time. Mm-hmm. And it was during that time where he was getting a lot of scrutiny, mm-hmm. For his comments, his attitude,
his behavior.
Mm-hmm. And that was definitely during a time where those shifts were happening, mm-hmm. in real time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, y'all have came really far as far as that journey. You know, most, I don't even know how to put it. Most people, most cultures, most fights don't get nearly as far as, you know, this particular fight has gotten in the time in which we've been recording it and looking at it and studying it. So to have moments like these, you know, it is something to really talk about, which is why it stands out to me. You know what I mean? So to have him and Elton John, someone that was a very famous person in that industry, in that culture, you know, come and they shared the stage together. They they shared a song. They hugged. They had a very intimate moment on stage, and that, like, I won't say it cleared the air, but it gave some perspective.
Yeah, I think just like, for instance, we were talking about this on the Sunday School podcast from the youth group from the Bird Show. You can find that on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you want to take a listen. But on episode one, we did discuss the experience that Jackson and Mikey had at the Pride Parade. It was Mikey's first Pride Parade. It would have been Jackson's second, but he wasn't able to join us this year. Yeah. But last year, it was his first. And they both discussed that they never really grew up around, like, they didn't grow up around gay people. They just didn't grow up around them. It just wasn't a thing. So it just wasn't something you thought about, especially as a kid.
Yeah.
And then you also grew up in a time to where, you know, at that time when we were growing up, like when you heard that somebody was gay, it was almost like the talk of the town. Everybody's talking about, oh, did you hear that so-and-so is gay? Mm-hmm. It became like this taboo thing to discuss.
Yeah.
And so if you were to show that you were okay with it, then maybe you were gay.
Yeah.
And it became a whole thing. So I'm not talking for Jackson and Mikey. I just mean in general, and the last statement that I made. And so they discussed, you know, what it was like for them. And I think it's a really good episode for you to listen to, because, well, you heard it.
Yeah.
It's a really good episode for those of you who are listening right now. The Sunday School Youth Group episode one, where they discuss that. And if you are not a part of the gay community, but you have kind of found yourself kind of a part of it, because the gay community is just like kind of growing.
Yeah, it's constantly growing, bro.
So it was just a very interesting point of view. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about the thing with Eminem and Kid Rock?
Remind me.
Well, there's like this thing that was going around. I remember Abby talking about it on the e-buzz today, but I was on phone, so I missed a lot. But I remember her talking about, actually, I think it was Mo who was talking about it. Anyways, it was a video or something that Kid Rock had posted, I think on Twitter or something. And he was talking about he was talking about MAGA and all this other stuff, like political shit. And then, I think Eminem had responded or heard about it and was like, I don't really mess with Kid Rock. I don't really mm-hmm. mess what he believes in, or that something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, that's interesting. So,
yeah, I do recall that interaction when Kid Rock was really tripling down on the whole red hat thing.
Oh yeah. And, I remember when Bud Light was like, "Ooh, LGBT, I'm going to go ahead and put this transgender person on the bottle or something."
Yeah.
And he went fucking crazy and took like AKs and like fucking started and it's like shoot. He went to buy Bud Light just to shoot them up.
Hilarious video. It's
fucking
hilarious
ridiculous. Video. It's like, meanwhile, thank you for your purchase. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Not even a good beer. Sorry. Hard take, I guess. I'm not even a great beer. Either. It's not great.
But you can sponsor us if you.
I mean, yeah, we'd still. Hey, bro. Hey.
I can learn to love it.
You know what I'm saying?
I can learn to love it.
Drink Bud Light.
Who would win in a fight? Coming up next on the Professionally Silly Podcast.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Discussions will be had.
I hope so. With that kind of tease, I would.
Who would win in a fight, DJ Cousin? You ready for this first one?
Yes. Yes, I am.
A flat earther versus a Cybertruck driver.
Okay, so like they're actually fighting? Mm-hmm. Okay, so
hand-to-hand combat.
Well, it kind of feels like the Cybertruck guy would win because he has the Cybertruck on hand. The flat earther is just...
Oh, I said hand-to-hand.
Really? Oh, hand-to-hand. Okay, so... You know what? I'm going to have to go with the flat earther, because a lot of the time they happen to be more salt of the earth kind of people. You know, they're hunters, they're gatherers, they're, you know, one with nature a little bit more. They're, you know, in RVs and shit, you know, in nature and shit. You know, with the Cybertruck people, you know, they tend to be more yuppie, a little more, you know, a little more domesticated in a sense, you know, a little bit.
Yo, this is like a douche versus douche fight.
These are just two very different hues of douche. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of my generalizations, because that's what these are, mind you.
All right.
I'm going to go with the flat earther.
All right.
I'm going to go with that.
Weird.
This is such a weird ass question, by the way.
You ready for the next one?
I guess.
Who went in a fight? Michael Cera or an actual bottle of Cera lotion?
Okay, so I'm going to assume that the
CeraVe, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Whatever.
I'm assuming it's sentient. Is it not? Or is it just a regular?
It was on sale at Family Dollar.
Of course. So I'm going to have to give it to the bottle.
You're a dick.
Michael Cera, you know, he's a very scrawny guy. You know, he gets tired pretty quickly. I heard he's a smoker. You know, so once he tries to rip the plastic off, you know, to really get to it, it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. He's going to tire it out.
Michael Cera, if you're listening to this, email djheycousin@djheycousin.com emails.
Yeah, I want that linky smoke.
All right, here's a good one right here. All right?
All right.
RoboCop versus Terminator.
Oh,
who
my
went
God.
In a fight?
So, it's...
You should have seen this... Just dug in. All right. Discussion time.
Yeah, that was me locking in, everyone. Get ready. All right. So,
you got 2 minutes.
We're going to go. We're going with the T-1000, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, so we're going with T2. We're going with that version. RoboCop 1. We're going with that RoboCop. So, that being said, I'm going to have to give it to RoboCop. All right, hand to hand, T-1000. What's T-1000? I forgot the exact model number. He doesn't have no weapons on him. It's just hand to hand. However, Robo got that gun on him. All right, it's in the thigh. It's on him constantly. Don't even matter. All right,
so I mean, sometimes weapons are using hand to hand.
You know what I'm saying? So not only that, Arnold has a little more dexterity as far as the movements. You know what I'm saying? But Once they get to rock 'em sock 'em, Robo's gonna take that. Robo's gonna take that, definitely.
Okay. All right. I'm proud of you for that. Thank you for your cooperation.
You're coming with me.
So I went on I think it was ChatGPT, Copilot, or Meta AI, I don't remember which fucking one.
Yeah.
But I asked AI, I said the same question. I said, who would win in a fight, RoboCop versus Terminator? And this is what it gave me. It says, that's a battle of the Titans, if I've ever heard one.
Oh, wow.
On one hand, we have RoboCop, the cybernetic cop with a human brain dedicated to upholding the law and protecting the innocent with his impressive arsenal and tactical training. On the other hand, we have Terminator, a relentless killing machine designed to be virtually indestructible with advanced AI and an unwavering mission to terminate its target. So the strengths of RoboCop would be law enforcement experience, human intuition, advanced weaponry, and strong moral compass. Terminator's strength would be superior strength, obviously, durability, advanced AI, and mission-focused persistence. Okay? The weakness of RoboCop, which these are really important, human emotions and potentially vulnerability due to his organic brain. Terminator's weakness, lack of human intuition, although it compensates with sheer power and efficiency. In a showdown, RoboCop's tactical training and human ingenuity could give him an edge in outmaneuvering the Terminator. However, don't get excited. The Terminator's raw power and persistence might eventually wear RoboCop down. It would be a close call, but ultimately, the Terminator's relentless nature might tip the scales in its favor. Still, never underestimate the human element that RoboCop brings to the table. It might just surprise us all.
Exactly. You just described the first RoboCop at that last part right there. That's what RoboCop is. You know what I mean? That's why the brain is in the robot. You know what I mean? Because just for that element.
All right.
All right. I mean, that's the entire discussion of AI wrapped in it right there. You know what I mean? You can't.
Why are your muscles? What's going on here? You really excited about this? You're really jacked all of a sudden. What's going on?
Well, first of all, I mean, thank you, I guess. It's natural. All right. All right. This is what the human element is all about. You know what I mean?
You are the strongest looking nerd I've ever seen. Well, you and Ethan. All right. So Michael Jackson versus Tupac.
Oh, going with the moonwalker. He's got those magical powers.
It turns out that it is Michael Jackson. So did you hear about the Tupac getting his ass handed to him by Michael Jackson?
Yes, I did.
I'm kind of pissed off that you already knew before I asked you. Son of a bitch.
I mean,
Let's just go ahead and roll it.
I'm out here, of
God
course.
God damn it. Let me just roll it. Roll the goddamn clip.
You know, Mike and Quincy was tight.
Right.
So for years, you got to remember, they made Off the Wall together, and that was in the 70s. You see what I'm saying? And it took them years to make. And that came out in 79. So if it took them years to make, we talk about 78, 77, maybe 76, they started on this project. So that means Michael Jackson grew up. I mean, watched Quincy Jones' daughters grow up. Fast forward years later, Tupac is dating one of the daughters. I think it was Khadijah. They came out of, Tupac comes out the party disrespecting Khadijah, like, bitch, shut up. Come the fuck on. Shut the fuck up and get in the car. Mike stepped to him. Yo, you can't talk to her like that. He was like, Mike, mind your fucking business. Mike was like, fuck no. That's like my niece. You ain't going to just talk to her like that. Michael Jackson and fucking Tupac start rumbling. Michael Jackson beat his ass. They said Tupac loved to fight, but he can't fight.
Tupac and Michael Jackson. Now listen. That's news to me.
You got to remember, number one, Mike came up in the house with how many brothers?
Only people over here is Michael Jordan. You got Martin Lawrence right here. Ice T still got their old house. It's in the heels. So next thing you know, Mo Preem, Big Sight, rest in peace. Pac, and we fuck with Kadada. You know, Pac, he's a Gemini. You don't get the good, nice Pac, or you can get the evil Pac. He comes in, he see Kadada Jones. I need to holler at you. And he grab Kadada's arm, and Mike grab her arm. And Mike said, watch out, good. You still got to end up with my sister, huh? Pac swing, Mike duck it. Mike give him a lap, boom. He give him a lap. Pac, karate, kick. Yeah, Mike block the kick. Yeah, and then go to the ground. Squad, we come break it up. Mike got grass in his perm. And then Pac got like this. And who stopped that beef? Rest in peace. The homie, IBC. They shook hands, and they shrugged and squashed it. They say Mike beat him up, but I said, Pac swung first. Mike took, Mike 6'2". Joe Jackson's son from Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
That's the murder capital of the year. Gary, Indiana, that's down the street from Chicago. The mob, that's where the mob at.
They hugged it out. But they're saying Mike beat up two. I said, I don't know. We break it up, because I wanted to see him fight. And Sykes said, no, Buddha. Let's break it up. I want to see it. Pac loved to fight. He can't fight, but he loved to fight.
All right, bro. So we just watched legit two different videos, and there's more clips on TikTok, people talking about this. Michael Jackson versus Tupac. Tommy Too Smooth is the first clip that you heard. He's a comedian, and he was on the Untold YouTube channel about 2 weeks ago. They posted this, and that was his version of what happened. But we also had Boo Capone, who shared a version of this story too. And I'm like, and that was recently as well. So I'm like, two is telling this story. And then I'm hearing other talking about it. And what they're saying is making me think maybe Mike has some hands. What you think?
I mean, you know, when you really look at the foundation of like how this happened, it kind of makes sense. I mean, look at Mike, Gary, Indiana, grew up around a whole bunch of brothers, getting his ass whooped constantly. Like, you're going to learn how to fight.
Yeah. People keep forgetting Mike is still black. Like, I know he appeared not to be, but he grew up in a black household, you know what I'm saying? And
hella black.
Black men, especially women that they care about, they're going to defend those women. It's just in the DNA of a black man.
I can only imagine how many asses he whooped in the name of Janet and Latoya.
Oh man.
You know what I mean? Or one of the other brothers. You know, who knows? I'm sure niggas got jumped.
The disrespectful thoughts I had about his sister Janet, yo, he would have definitely put his hands on me. I ain't respectfully thinking.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean respectfully speaking.
yeah. And when it comes to Tupac, man, he's a theater kid. No disrespect, but I mean, yeah, he had his time in the hood and whatnot, but you know, he's a cosplayer in a sense. Like,
oh, Tupac was educated, smart as fuck. We're not negating his music or his creativity. He was a goat.
I'm just talking about
hands.
Yeah, I'm just talking about what qualifies a motherfucker for hands.
Yeah.
For a hand certificate. That's what I'm talking about.
I guarantee Mike being, you know, thin and stuff, especially growing up, being the smallest growing up, you know, I'm pretty sure he had to fight back a lot. You know, going around dancing with his brothers, some people probably didn't like that shit.
I'm sure, yeah, very much. I'm sure he got into a couple scuffles, but I know a couple of dudes that kind of fit the profile that they were saying about Pac, the little guys who like to fight, but didn't necessarily do well in said fight.
Yeah, I know a lot of like that too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's cool. You got gumption. You got moxie, kid. That's what's up. But I don't need folks getting hurt while I'm from behind me while I'm trying to handle mine.
You know,
I don't need that. I don't need that.
I got to tell you, man, at first, when I first heard just the topic, I was like, ain't no motherfucking way Michael Jackson whooped Tupac. Ain't no way. But after hearing, you know, different, you know, ideas of what could have went down and why it would have went down that way, I'm thinking to myself, logically, Mike would have had them motherfucking hands, bro. I don't remember what I was listening to, but I remember there was something on TikTok. Somebody said that once they shook Michael Jackson's hand and it felt like a boxer's hand or some shit.
Which is wild. Like, I mean, he's something.
His hands was always wrapped up. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Mike is a tall dude, so that's not hard to believe when you really think about it. Yeah, I can see that.
As you mentioned, he had the reach.
Mm-hmm. You know, hella reach.
And I'm sure he knew how to fight.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I gotta tell you, I might be a team Mike when it comes to the hands.
Yeah, and being a good dancer transitions immaculately well to fighting.
You know, his footwork was immaculate, not to mention the cardio, bro. He was a dancer. He had what you call it? Stamina.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, dancing and singing, the breath work alone.
He
could work on you for a minute.
Yes, bro.
He could work on you for a minute. That's another reason.
Good 5-6 rounds of whooping your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. That little kick he does right to the nuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yo, I love that. All right, man. Next on the Professionally Silly Podcast, am I the asshole? Let's talk about that. But before we get to that, I have a question for you.
Okay, a question for me.
I got a question for you.
In exchange, I have a little weird tidbit for you related to our previous topic.
Next on the Professionally Silly Podcast. All right, bros, you may have mentioned that you had something that you wanted to share, a little titty bit.
Oh, yes. This is a little nerd corner right now.
Oh, fuck.
Huh. Nerd corner. Now, we mentioned boxing and Michael Jackson, correct?
Yes.
This actually makes more sense now in retrospect. And there was a game series called Ready to Rumble that came out in the mid-2000s.
Fuck, I remember. I had that game.
Yes. I believe there were two or three games.
Or I played it, one of the two.
In the sequel, Ready to Rumble, I believe round two.
I did have the game, PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dreamcast. One of the secret characters, after you worked your ass off and, you know, you do your thing, you unlock Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Which, great character. He had hands. And also, one level deeper, the voice actor that plays Michael Jackson in that game is him.
Get the fuck out of here.
However, he had to go by a different name. I forget the name for the sake of anonymity because he uses his normal speaking voice.
I think I still have that fucking game, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a PS2. I think I still have that game. Ooh.
Yeah, he uses his normal speaking voice.
That is a fun little titty bit.
Which is why no one connected the dots until years later. Many people still have it.
Bro, I tell you what, if you come in with tidbits, aka titty bits like that here, bring that here. That's fire. Question for you. So I got this from the In the Moment podcast that Mo and Katie do from the Bird Show.
Shout out.
I love their podcast. Anyway, so they were having a discussion on there. I believe Key Will Voice was on that episode as well. No, he was definitely on that episode because I remember him being really adamant about his decision here. But anyways, they asked, Mo asked them a question. If you were in a relationship, okay, and your girl cheated on you, would you rather she cheated up or cheated down? And why?
The pettiness in me would say date down. It would be down, but my ego would hope that it would be up.
Why would you want them to cheat up?
Validate and cement that I am indeed with a bad bitch.
That is a very interesting way of looking at it. I'm on Mo's side on this one. What he said and what I think is I would rather you cheat down, because if you cheat down, it's like, oh, something wrong with her then. So it's easy for me to walk away. Oh, you just gross. Oh, something wrong with you then. Bye.
Oh, no, yeah. That definitely.
That's better for my ego, too.
Yeah, that definitely helps the pride. That's what the pettiness. That's what all that is.
I guess I'm petty, because that's what I would do. I mean, I would want that, but.
And of course, that feels better initially, but it also means that, okay, well, she can't really, or whoever, can't really do better, to do too much better than me in this dynamic, which means I'm really the one with the cards in this scenario, which really means this person really shouldn't be with me to begin with, because I'm the best they can do.
Exactly. Cheat down. No, exactly. I don't want you to cheat up, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And how you just gonna move on after cheating on me and be happy as fuck with somebody better than me? Fuck you. No, if you're gonna cheat on me, cheat down. You can call it petty, you can call it smart, you can call it whatever you want. Cheat down. Or maybe don't cheat at all. That's just where I stand.
You know, I definitely like that third option. I'm definitely a fan of the third option.
Fan of that one. Maybe don't break my heart out of my chest. Maybe don't do that.
Yeah. Can you not let me catch you in bed with either someone who's way more amazing than me, or someone who has a limp and a crooked eye?
Oh, that is a vision. Because I know what your ex looks like. So that's just, thanks for putting that in my
head. Oh yeah, no problem. Okay, going from experience.
Let's go on to the MI of the asshole segment. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Cheat down for me. You're weird.
Oh, yes. You're welcome.
Am I the asshole because I will not watch anything more complicated than a Hallmark movie with my wife? Next on the Professionally Silly Podcast. Am I the asshole because I will not watch anything more complicated than a Hallmark movie with my wife? So, I heard your opinions, listeners, and I know that you guys wanted some more Am I the Asshole stories. So you asked and now you're receiving.
Mm.
So Debatable Questions are a podcaster's wet dream. So let's go ahead and get into it.
Let's get into it.
Okay. So check this out. I fucking hate Cybertrucks.
Oh my God.
Fucking hate them.
I don't know why I looked on the screen thinking there was one driving by or some shit.
No, that's an SUV.
God damn. All right. You got that out? Got that hate out? You feel better?
Yeah, I told you I was challenge accepted.
All right. No one challenged you.
All right. So am I the asshole because I will not watch anything more complicated than a Hallmark movie with my wife? Let's get into it.
Off top a little, but carry on.
I got this from Reddit, obviously, from the Am I the Asshole little thread page that got there. Anyways, it says, I love my wife. She is intelligent and sweet. Also, she is beautiful inside and out. She teaches high school English and social studies. She loves novels and usually has several on the go. However, she cannot follow the plot of a movie to save her life. Unless it is about a big city lawyer visiting her hometown to shut down the local factory, but instead reconnecting with her high school boyfriend, who was also the local baker and the mayor. I've seen that one.
That's a good one. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, they say Christmas. Yeah.
I have seen that. I was getting my hair done. Okay, so I've known this about her for years, and I have accepted it. Wait, what? I just like vegging with her. Vegging.
Oh, vegging. Yeah, what is that? Like vegging out.
Oh, okay. I never heard of that. I just like vegging with her. So I'm happy to see white people rediscovering the magic of Christmas or whatever. what a great writer. When we were dating, we watched The Matrix. The question she asked had me wondering about her. Ditto for anything complex. Even The Unusual Suspects, where they lay everything out for you, she didn't get the ending. We had her sister and brother-in-law over for a couple's night on Friday. She made supper, and the plan was to watch a movie. Her sister wanted to watch Shutter Island. I will not spoil it, but the movie has many twists. The ending is awesome. He's right. I like that movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
I tried my best to suggest anything else. The new Laura Dern movie where she was, where she bangs the kid from Hunger Games. Oh, yeah. They all ganged up on me and said we were watching Shutter Island. My wife proceeded to embarrass herself by not understanding the ending and asking questions that were not great. Her sister and husband were looking at my wife like she was Simple Jack. I tried my best to cover for her, or telling her I would explain later. She got mad at me for not just answering her questions. After they left, she just... What? Oh, I thought they said sharted. I thought they said she sharted in me. I was like, what?
Man, whoa, that's an aggressive response.
After they left, she started in on me. she said that she noticed we always watched a certain kind of movie and that she thought I enjoyed them. Mm. I said I did because we got to spend time together and that made me happy. She said that she was not an idiot and that she just didn't concentrate on movies. She recited the plots of several novels to prove her point. I said that I had never commented on her intelligence and that she was smarter than me. She says that I'm a jerk for not watching movies I enjoy with her. So I agreed and we watched Memento today. Good movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Memento, really good. I think it's on Netflix.
Probably.
I think her head almost exploded from asking questions. I saw her on Wikipedia reading the plot.
Oh,
am I the
God.
Asshole for intentionally not watching complicated movies with my wife?
A little bit still, but no. I mean, everybody's not good at everything. And I know this is kind of weird and out of left field, but your significant other isn't great at complex cinematic themes and narratives and plots. Like, she...
That would annoy the shit out of me.
It would. It would a lot of people. There are people I know that would be a deal breaker. But I mean, is it a deal breaker for you?
But I would not like it.
I mean, that's unfortunate. But like, yeah. You have to sort of sit with yourself and be like, well, can I tolerate my lover not knowing how to watch movies, like, legitimately?
And because of what we do, it's like if you can't understand a plot. That's just
like, imagine someone who didn't know how to listen to music.
Oh, I can't do that.
Like, I don't even know how to even articulate that in the moment.
It's hard enough,
but...
trying to date someone with an Android phone. I can't. It's too much. Oh, God. So everyone on Reddit overall says that no, there is no assholes in this. She's not the asshole. He's not the asshole. He just accepted that his wife sucks at watching movies. And instead of him being annoyed constantly every time they watch one, he said, hey, let's just watch something that she likes. It's called compromise.
Well, you know, the only little speck of assholery that I see is this lack of self-awareness and a slight lack of communication, which, like, this is the scariest kind of communication right here in these kinds of moments where someone doesn't see something about themselves, or at least to the fullest extent in which it is actually deemed as a quote unquote issue. And that person, because they don't want to hurt that person's feelings, for the most part, that's really it. I don't want to hurt your feelings, which you ain't going to die if I hurt your feelings.
Sometimes it's just, I don't want to hear your mouth.
And that was my next thing. Or the consequences of poking certain you know, emotional nerves or buttons or bears or whatever you want to call it, that tend to not react well for people.
I mean, not everything needs to be poked, though. Not everything is that important that it needs to be discussed and stretched out.
Not everything, but damn it, this is one of them. And I even somewhat disagree with that. It depends on what the thing is. If it's detrimental, if it's affecting you, if it's something that's actually causing progress in your life, then yeah, it needs to be addressed eventually.
He was like, well, my wife sucks at this, so I'll compromise and I'll watch what she likes. That way we still get to spend time together. And I also don't have to be annoyed by you asking me a bunch of fucking questions that were right there in front of your face.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's duct tape.
So,
and I mean, I hope
on this one.
I hope they can come to a consensus about it, like in the long run.
Yeah.
But that is something that, you know, you have to sort of contend with and figure out, like, oh, is this something I want to deal with, yeah, or
and
am I going to move on? You know what I mean?
Married her because he knew it before he married her.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So I asked the Burt Show interns, I asked them, what would they rather do? I gave them a nice little FMK, fuck, marry, kill, for my new listeners. And their choices were tacos, pizza, sushi. Let's
all
go
right
ahead and, yeah, it's a good one, right?
All right, yeah.
Let's go ahead and roll that clip. All right, so you guys ready for a FMK, fuck, marry, kill?
Yes.
All right, cool. All right, fuck, marry, kill. You're up first, Shelby. Tacos, sushi, pizza.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fuck, sushi, marry. You're gonna kill pizza. That's all I got.
So you're gonna fuck sushi, you're marrying tacos, and you're killing pizza?
Yes.
All right, fair. What about you? Demaya.
Ooh, is sushi what?
Sushi, taco, pizza. Ooh. She's like, can I have all three right now? Foursome sounds good, don't it? Right now.
I'm gonna marry tacos, kiss pizza, kill sushi. Sorry.
Oh, damn. All right. Okay. Hey, yo, sleepyhead. Fuck, marry, kill. Tacos, sushi, pizza.
Huh? Wait, what? Say it again. Say
tacos,
it again.
Sushi, pizza. Fuck, marry, kill.
Fuck, marry, kill. Tacos.
That's a tough one. They're all good.
Fuck pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Marry, kill. Fuck. Wait, no. Wait, wait.
You're already
Mary
fucking. How many?
Okay. wait, no. Kill pizza.
Okay.
Fuck tacos. Marry sushi. All
right. Yeah. That was a tough one. You okay? You act like I just asked you that, like, what's the real number of pie?
Hard question.
Yeah, it really was. I love pizza, but I'm gonna kill pizza because of the options. Yeah. I'm gonna kill pizza. I am making sweet, sweet love to sushi, and I'm gonna bang the crap out of some tacos. Yeah. Soft shell. I don't want it to hurt. That was the Burt Show interns who decided to go ahead and do some naughty things to their food. All right, so I did enjoy what? Oh, you didn't like the way I said that? It was weird.
It was just unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the things I say are. I try to make sure that that's what's happening.
Yeah, even you don't know what you're gonna say.
No, I don't. Chicken. If there is anything you can take from this podcast episode, it's, yo, Michael Jackson got them hands.
Heck yeah.
May he rest in peace. Michael and Tupac too, rest in peace. But Michael Jackson got them hands.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
You know
most
what I'm
definitely
saying?
Tupac has not been in any kind of fighting game. He wasn't in Vendetta or Fight for New York or any of those. Like,
I don't, they didn't make a horror video game off of him for PCs.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It was like a Friday Night at Freddy's version. It wasn't that game, but instead of Freddy, it was like Michael Jackson, but it was like the
you
same
talking
kind
about
of
Moonwalker?
Premise. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Shit. Well, yeah, that. I thought you were talking about the movie.
Well, yeah, it was both. It was came out like kind of same time.
Didn't even know that. I mean, I knew there was a game. I guess I didn't realize it was the same thing.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like one of those fan things that someone made or some shit.
Oh, the whole. Wait, are you talking?
It's horror.
Oh, you're talking about that thing.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the game from the 90s.
No.
Oh, no, yeah, that's horrifying.
PC horror game.
Yeah, that's like a mod thing. Yeah, that's horrifying. Yeah. Oh, my God. The fact you even brought that up so casually. Oh, God.
Because it's well-known lore for millennials. What are you doing?
What? That's still, though. Oh, my God. That's so scary. And,
I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't fuck around and find out with anyone. Because you really just never know the kind of hand someone may have.
You don't.
Silly life rules. You really don't. Shout out to the listeners because you guys are fucking titties. I love your faces, but most of all, the ears that are attached to them. I appreciate every last freaking one of you. By the way, DJ Hey Cousin, I want to go ahead and let everyone know who's listening, including you, because you don't even know what I'm about to say.
I don't.
I want to go ahead and try a game that we've played on the Bird Show a couple of times. Actually, they do it often, but they haven't done it in a while. But I want to try it here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. It's a game that is called Plead the Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Plead the Fifth.
Okay.
And pretty much the premise of the game would be I have five questions, or you will have five questions. And you can only not answer one of these questions.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we can either do that, or we can do Hot Seat, which is the one I would rather do.
Hot seat
is when I can ask you five different questions, but up to five different questions. But if you refuse to answer the question, there is a punishment.
Oh, it's just the same thing, but with me being injured. Okay.
Yes. Which I really enjoy. But on the Plead the Fifth, you can only not answer one question. The other four, you would have to.
Yeah.
I borrowed this from Mikey. This, I'm holding a box in my hand. It says massager is what it says. It's not, I mean, technically that's what it is. But it can also, for men, be used as kind of like a menstrual cramp simulator almost if you put it in the right place. So, Wesley, if we decide to play the game, which I'm going to find a way to get you to do it, we're going to place these little electro nods here on your abdomen. And we're going to control those. So when you decide not to answer a question, you have a nice little shock.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little shock. Mm-hmm. Nice little shock is what will happen. So if you guys want this to happen, just let us know. Reach out to me. All of my information and podcast stuff, my social medias, all down below in the show notes. If you want this to happen, let us know. I might even convince him to do an I'll Try That recording just so he can see what it feels like. Maybe kind of might feel like to have a period.
How'd you get your hands on those?
Okay, I told you, Messy Mikey from the Bird Show. Mikey, this is his. Oh, yeah.
I mean, why he let you keep them?
He said I can borrow them. He didn't say I can keep them. But he's left them in studio for like a week and a half. I think he's forgotten that they're there. And I asked him if I can borrow it today, and he said, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, honestly, if he lets me buy it from him, I will.
Yeah, I believe that.
Subscribe to this podcast, whatever platform you're using. Also, do your girl a favor and leave me a 5-star and or written review. It could definitely help the podcast grow. And if this is your first time listening, come on back and join in on the silly and binge all the episodes that you haven't heard yet, because I got a lot of them. And share the podcast with a friend. That'd be fire. Don't forget that I'm going to be posting one of these segments from each episode a little earlier in the week, give you a little tease. So I'm going for, so far, every Thursday. I've been doing it for like, 3-4 weeks so far? So we're kicking ass, so stay tuned for that. And trust me, once again, listen to the Feed the Pig episode. I mentioned it every episode this month because it is the perfect episode for the Halloween season.
Perfect.
Perfect, man. Yo, and if you're already listening to this, chances are it is November 1st. It's probably Friday for you, so Halloween was yesterday. I hope you're not too hungover, and if you are, thanks for staying.
Anyways, yeah.
That's awesome. Our information down below if you want to hit us up on our social medias down below in the show notes. Once again, Linktrees, Instagrams, TikToks, all that can be found. Listener submissions, email me, or you can send me a voicemail message or text. All that is down below in the show notes as well. Interested in writing, my information is down there too, my P.O. Box. Amber Smiles Jones, P.O. Box 533, Lovejoy, Georgia, 30250. Once again, I'm your audible boomfang, Amber Smiles Jones. Thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station, where I take my silliness seriously. And I'll leave you with this. When you drink alcohol, you're just borrowing happiness from tomorrow. yeah, just a random ass thought that attacks my brain cells when I go to sleep at night.
It's hella random.
Yeah. I mean, the next day, you're always like, oh, I feel like shit.
Okay.
Some of your happy is gone until you feel better. I mean, it's
okay,
true.
Okay, well, when you, all right. All right, when you put it like that, yeah. All right, okay.
Until next time you decide to tune in, pee silly listeners, watch where you step, because there are pieces of shit everywhere, and they love to spread their ignorance. Paraxima, semana. That's this next week in Spanish. Okay, bye.